Talking Calgary Flames hockey in the afternoon. The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's one of those things. We've stuck to the game plan, but there's been a lot of games where we're trailing by a goal or two going into the third. Those games, especially at home, you're in those games, and you got to try and find a way to win your share of them to get in the playoffs. And we know that. We know we're going to be in a lot of tight games all year, and I think our guys have done a good job of, like I said, different guys stepping up and being the go-to guy in the third period or making that big play to get us tied or ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Calgary Flames will host the Chicago Blackhawks, the second meeting of the season between these teams tonight. I'm Rob Kerr. I'm very proud to work alongside Pat Steinberg, who's the host of Calgary Flames Hockey. Of course, we here at Sportsnet own all of television now, so you have to watch it on one of our stations. But as a public relations announcement is something for the benefit of everybody, I'm here to tell you, you don't need to tune in until 9 o'clock tonight. About 9 o'clock. Hmm. About third period. That's all you need to know. Mark Giordano, the captain of the Calgary Flames, talking about their success in the third period. Pat, did you know this? Prepare, sir. Sit down in that chair. Prepare to have your mind blown. Calgary Flames lead the National Hockey League in third period goals with 27. The Chicago Blackhawks lead the National Hockey League in goals against in the third period with allowing just 7 goals. Pat, something's got to give.
It's the immovable object the unstoppable force tonight.
They're screwing up the NHL by calling the last night's games on Wednesday night the rivalry games. This is clearly it.
But only in the third period.
Only in the third
period.
Don't
bother watching the first 20 or the second 20.
My suggestion, and it's not a knock on anybody, we're just going to play tone. That's all we'll do. And then you just tune in the third period. That's when it all
Although
goes down.
Although Derek and Lou will do the game, but they just will.
No, tone. You didn't hear me. Tone.
No.
We'll just play tone.
They'll be doing the game, but it won't be going anywhere. They'll just be up there,
right,
getting their practice in, so that when the third period starts, they're in third period
right
form.
Then the tone ends, and they pick it up and go.
Yep.
Because clearly that's what all of this is about. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Big Show. Actually, really excited about this. I say this a lot. Pat's put a hell of a show together today. I understand the general manager of the local Hockey Heroes will be joining us live in studio.
Yes.
Maybe not now. Maybe not now that he figures that we've solved it. We've broken the code. We've figured out how this game is going to... We can beat the system, Pat.
We can hope.
We can beat the system, Pat. Brad Treliving in studio. I don't know if we have a big enough door to get Keegan Kanzig in here.
We might
have to run a microphone into the hallway. One of the biggest single human...
No, because Ken King fits through there easily, and I know Ken...
But that's more of a wide thing than a height thing.
He's a tall man.
Oh, that's true.
That's what I was getting at.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. Please.
Or the other thing is, Ken, that was Rob. Kirk, K-E-R-R. Anyway, we'll have Keegan Kanzig join us. Interesting. You talked a little bit about it. And I've often wondered, and I don't know, maybe it's fair game to ask Brad Treliving about it. The Edmonton Oilers, or if you've watched and paid attention in the last couple of 3 or 4 years, the Edmonton Oilers have had no problem having draft picks play for the Oil Kings,
mm-hmm,
and to the point where they've gone out and acquired them from other Western Hockey League teams and brought them. I believe Samuelson? No, that's not who I'm...
You're thinking of Musiel?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went out from Vancouver, right?
Yeah, they got him from the Giants,
that's right,
and they brought him in.
And they... I know they brought in a couple of kids from Everett. Hey, look at that. It's Celebrity Week down at the Old Dome. All the high rollers are out. Did they have the red carpet out? You going to come in and say hello, or are you just going to stand out there gawking?
Hi.
Huh? No, that's not what I meant. It's not often you get one of the pioneers in the game. You going to sit down for a second or what? Are you up against it or what? Our good pal.
I see him once a week down here. Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen him.
He always
never returns my calls.
We
used to talk all the time, but now he's big time in me because he is the voice of the National Hockey League on Omni. Now, did I got it right?
You did. Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi on Omni. It's funny because a couple of the Saturday night games that we've done, I've managed to blurt out CBC once, and thankfully everybody started to laugh, and I didn't get in trouble for that. But, you know, you're a creature of habit.
It's Harder Ryan Singh. And,
yes.
And the part that was the coolest part for me was that for the first time I was able to actually watch it on Saturday because we didn't have access. You had to have specialty channels before.
You always had access to it.
Really?
Yep.
Not on my cable package.
You did. No, you did. You had to hunt for it.
You had to hunt for it, yeah.
But okay, well, it was easily accessible.
But it's right now where it needs
to
be.
It was right there on Omni.
It was much further down on the digital channels.
Yeah, it was like in the first, it was one page down, and there it was.
Yeah, I mean, now we're in HD. Before we weren't. So a lot of big and better improvements.
See, that would be why, because I never even look at standard definition. and that is...
No, it was hidden. Not hidden, but it was hidden.
It was tough.
And now it's front and center.
Yes. I mean, if you were in the Punjabi community more often, yes, you would know where to find it. But now, yes, it's prime time. It's our set is beautiful, so it's bigger and better than ever before. We have a nice pregame show, a postgame show. Things are good. So, I'm drinking the Rogers Kool-Aid.
Well, and they're getting their pound of flesh out of you if you're doing pre, post, and two games.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
that's a long day.
That's a big day.
Yeah,
that's
it's a regular
commitment.
Day for us.
Yeah,
too,
your brain is fried after 6.5 hours of live TV.
What are the numbers like? Have you had any indication?
Because come on. Do you think they're going to tell me? Obviously, we're doing well, though. Eighth season for me. So.
Well, which is it? Which is it? You're either downplaying it or you're not. But they've got to be better, don't they?
They are because of the fact that it is more easier to find. I think there's a little bit of a transition for getting the word out at the grassroots level of the community of that, okay, now we're on Omni. We did have a large component of our viewership online. For them, it's a bit different as well.
Yeah.
But it is, you're right, it is easier to find. We're more in everybody's face. Omni TV has an awesome following for their Punjabi national news broadcast.
Right.
So it kind of goes part and parcel to have us on there, and with Omni being owned by Rogers. And doesn't Rogers own everything now?
Pretty close.
He laughs, but of course the evil empire is now known. Yes. Having said that, how have your games been? I mean, have you been getting good games?
Oh yeah, and you
lots
know,
of Maple Leafs.
Yes,
so
a lot
you
of.
Can't, then you answered that question incorrectly. Didn't
well,
you?
We had the Buffalo, the six. What was it 6-2? Yeah. And they lost to them. So we didn't have the 9-2. So against Nashville,
it's not on you.
You know, we've had our fair share of the Flames games on Saturday nights. The Hawks are in town here tonight. We'll be showing the Hawks playing Edmonton. On Saturday. Saturday. Yeah,
so do they choose the ones that are getting nationally broadcast on CBC? Is that the way it works? They just do those doubleheaders, those are the ones you do, or does it vary?
Those are predominantly the ones we do. And just based on demographics and ratings-wise, those are usually the more highly watched, highly viewed games. There might be a little bit of a change. The changes you see in the schedule are more closer to the playoff races when you hit March and April,
right.
And there might be, you have a team, if Toronto's already out of it and, Montreal's in, then we might see more Habs thrown into our schedule.
So you do have a little flex scheduling then.
So, down the road they do. But, I mean, the producers and them, they take care of that stuff, right?
Okay.
So.
You here today to do stuff for the locals?
I am here to do a profile on Johnny Hockey for the Punjabi viewership of Flames TV Punjabi Online.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes.
That's about a year now, isn't it?
Yeah, I started this last year, and so it's continued on this year. So I'm sure some of the people listening have seen the most popular video we had last year where we had the players try to say he shoots, he scores in Punjabi, or, what a sin bin, penalty box is called. We had a lot of fun with them. McGrattan was great. Monahan was great. That was a hoot. So it was our most popular video.
So how do you say he shoots, he scores?
You say, Maria shot. Kita goal. Yeah.
The best part, and I mean...
I've heard this
story. I thought you were going to give it a shot.
Okay, I'll try.
Okay, so once more. Maria shot, kita goal.
Maria shot, kita goal.
Perfect, there you go.
How do you say happy birthday, Tim Jackman? Anyway.
How do you say no?
Well, I'm so excited for you, bud. Good to see you again.
Yes,
glad you stopped
likewise.
By. Don't be a stranger. The door's always open. We're now kindred spirits. We
you're
the
a
same
colleague
banner.
Now. Like, not, it's not even about
nice.
To ask permission now.
If you don't
throw on a headset.
Might help old Pat there if you could give him a couple of shout-outs on the old next broadcast day, if you don't mind. A little
yeah,
overtime.
Well,
after this game, tune into overtime.
I'm glad your headsets fit over the turban, so that's a good start. And so, over the
I can honestly... First time ever that's been said in the Hot Stove Lounge.
I actually thought it was because you didn't even miss a beat. You came in and it's like you knew exactly how to position it, put it right. I was like, wow, That's a va- So what do you use? Like, how do you do it? And this is strictly a technical question. How do you do it on hockey night? Like, what do you put it around the back of your head? Do they make, like, I'm very curious.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, it's one the techie guys have to always figure out for us, right? Because it's a custom kind of made fit. Well, when we're in studio now, we have the IFBs in our ear, and we're wearing a lapel mic because our studio does not look like a booth anymore. Our studio used to look. It was the image of how you would be sitting at the arena, right? So it was different. So we used to wear the headsets on the air. Now we're wearing lapel mics and IFB. But when we're calling the game, to get the international sound, to get the feel of it and have to have proper levels of voice quality, we're using headsets. But, yeah, you know, these things expand, you know, so they're good, you know.
Okay. He's talking about the headset.
Yeah, the headsets.
Yeah, okay. Because we've had that conversation in here about expanding our heads. Before I let you go, is there one particular market? Will you guys be more involved with Rogers Hometown Hockey at any point?
We were out in Burnaby.
You were, okay.
So that was kind of, you know, there. I didn't make it to Red Deer just because of due to travel.
No, you didn't, because it was raining. Come on, let's be perfectly honest. We were there. It was raining.
Yeah. And
lots of tents, though, so it would have been fun.
Yeah, so, I mean, Saskatoon, I didn't make it out. It's just traveling now, right? Weekends, there's a lot of that involved. But we were out in Burnaby, and it was great. It was huge and lots of people, and a lot of people from the South Asian community as well.
So where are you doing the games now? Like,
our show is based wherever Omni is. So Vancouver is a big portion of our show now in terms of where it's based.
So because it used to be, because you, when you were doing it for Hockey Night with CBC, you were doing it just off Memorial Drive, right?
Yes, like, we were. For the past three seasons, we were based more in Calgary, and now it's shifted to... Okay. Being based in Vancouver, so a lot of new faces, a bigger team in terms of who's working on the show. So, you know, we used to just have myself and the analyst. Now we have three people because of the more studio element.
Yeah.
So it is growing. So and hopefully it continues to grow. Yeah.
Tell us a little story about penetration in this too. That you know, you're in Burnaby, and obviously you and I have had this conversation. The neat thing about what you guys are doing, the neat thing about the culture that you come from, is that it's very family oriented, right? And that the inclusion of the elders and everybody, this is trickle down, right?
You betcha. I mean, especially in a place, you know, the lower mainland of BC, the Surrey Minor Hockey Association is a great example. Over out east, the Brampton Minor Hockey Association. But even here, I mean, one of my stories that I did for the Flames last year was, you know, for the Timbits kids who play in the intermission, there was a Punjabi kid involved. And, you know, it's what we're doing is growing the game at a very different grassroots level, catering to a niche market. And, you know, the face of Canada has changed. You know, I always do that analogy of the Canada Cups, you know. You have Lemieux, Gretzky, Paul Coffey, all those guys on the team. But how was Canada at that time compared to Canada now? And, you know, I'm living proof of born in Wetaskiwin, grew up in Brooks, you know, through and through Alberta.
See, we can hear that heavy Brooks accent, can't you?
Biggest meat packing plant in North America.
Absolutely.
And I'm a vegetarian. So we've got grandparents who are being introduced to the game, and they're able to bond with their grandkids now because of that. You know, there's a big generational gap, 100%. Language, cultural differences. So you've got a lot of different things going on. It's more than just a game, and I'd say that this, what we're doing, having a Punjabi broadcast of Hockey Night in Canada, proves that in Canada, maybe more than anywhere else, like, this might not have been possible in any other country, but it's doing well here, and it proves how great not only this nation is, but how great this game is.
That's cool.
Right. It's absolutely awesome.
I'm glad that you're on Omni now, too. Yeah. It's a really natural fit. It works that Rogers has got the multicultural channel, and you can get it in HD as well.
Well, and I'm glad you didn't get forgotten in all of this. Because you and I had a conversation about that. There was a lot to do this summer, and I was a little worried that you guys might kind of get put on the back burner, but it doesn't appear that's the case.
Well, it was big changes. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot bigger names than mine is. I've got 10 letters and 4 vowels. I'm not talking literally. I've got one of those European hockey names that's East Indian. But anyways, a lot bigger names in the media world than I am. They were wondering, too, you know, where are they going to go? What's going to be the fit? And thankfully, it all worked out. And I think Rogers recognized that this was, you know, it was maybe a want. It became a need. You know, this is something that the community now expects. So they went and renewed it. So everybody's grateful for that.
Well, you'll never make the mistake of walking by that door when it's open again.
Guys, I missed my interview with Johnny Hockey.
Oh,
thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good to see you.
It's okay. You can watch my profile on him in Punjabi online.
We'll send you some notes. Thanks, always man. Good to see you, bud.
Thanks very much. In, thanks, Rob.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Pat.
There you go. A true pioneer. And there's not a lot of those around anymore, but a true pioneer.
Yes.
Right?
That's cool. Good to see you, man. Yeah, I see him every week he comes by and says hi. Yeah.
Absolutely. And Ryan Singh, voice of hockey, Punjabi hockey in Canada. And we had Cassie Campbell on yesterday, and I'm involved in, you know, Hockey Alberta's foundation board. I'm here to tell you, not so much in Alberta, but the rest of Canada, numbers are dwindling. And we're in a unique position with the game. You got to sell it to other people. And you know what? There's good competition. Basketball's growing in this country. Soccer constantly is there. Hockey can no longer just sit by idly by and just say, we're open for business. Come see us. And I think what, you know, he was talking about, what Arne Ryan was talking about in terms of getting it into other communities. It's been a success.
It's a pretty cool thing if you and you know, having been born and raised in this city and born and raised in this country, it's kind of you don't really necessarily have the same type of you don't have the same perspective. But I try and put myself if I were to emigrate and move to another country where culture is completely different and the things that are the public interests
Absolutely.
Are completely different. I'd probably. You know, if I moved with a family or if I moved by myself or whatever, I'd probably look at sports first of all and have something to glom onto to kind of try and ingratiate myself to that new culture. And that's why, you know, it's really cool to see in Toronto and Calgary and Vancouver and every city in the NHL. But I think those three cities specifically jump out to me how quickly – new Canadians really just pick up and want, even if they're not familiar with the game, how quickly they jump into being a Flames fan or jump into being a Canucks fan. And I know that on Overtime, I've had numerous conversations with new Canadians, 2 or 3 years in the country, who are still learning the nuances of hockey, but care and are as passionate about the National Hockey League as anybody else. I think it's really cool.
Absolutely. We'll take a break, come back. Calgary is taking on the Chicago Blackhawks. Want to talk about that. Keegan Kanzig is scheduled to join us today in studio.
Yes.
Around 3:30, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving, in studio, quarter poll. We'll ask him about sustainability, because clearly the wheels are about to fall off. It's just a matter of time.
Right.
Is that right? Did I capture the spirit of the thing?
That's Rob's belief.
That's absolutely. I've been pounding that drum all week. Pat, who's bringing us this game day?
This is a game brought to you by South Point Toyota Scion. 7 o'clock face-off, 6 o'clock warm-up, Flames and the Chicago Blackhawks.
Simple as that. We'll come back and talk about the game next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's your game. It's our passion. Proud to be home for the National Hockey League in Calgary. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Big Show, brought to you by The Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old? Lighten up your Christmas party and book at The Comedy Cave. Just $29.95 per person, including dinner and show. Click ComedyCave.com.
Talking Hockey in the Afternoon, The Big Show with Rob Kerr and Pat Steinberg is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Just wants me to go out there, use my body, be physical, you know, move my feet, you know, move pucks quick. I'm with playing with Juris and Byron tonight, so they're both fast skaters, and you know, I got to try to keep up with them and just make room for them.
Michael Ferland, who did not get to complete his first National Hockey League game against the Nashville Predators. He was hit high late in the second period by Anton Volchenkov. Suffered a upper body injury, concussion. Am I speaking out of school?
No. Brad Treliving said specifically that he was concussed.
Okay. So that was on October 31st. He gets back into the lineup tonight, and you can bet he's really excited to go. The Flames actually making a couple of different lineup changes tonight.
Yeah, we're not totally sure as to what things are going to look like. We know for sure that Michael Ferland is back. We know for sure that neither David Jones nor Chris Russell are going to play tonight. Jones, upper body injury on IR. My guess is retroactive to Saturday, but we can confirm with Brad when he's in there. Also, Chris Russell will miss out with a lower body injury, but I don't believe he's on IR right now. So neither of those two will play. Rafa Diaz comes back in on the back end.
Right.
Ferland comes back in up front, but they also have to make another decision as to who is going to play, who's not going to play on the forward ranks. Are we going to see Reinhardt in? Looks like Reinhardt will be in, and Setoguchi will be out, so it'll be Setoguchi and McGrattan as the healthy scratches, but that not for sure. We won't find out closer to game time.
Interesting that Reinhardt and Ferland both coming into this game. The Flames, not, how do I play? They're not coaching like they're intimidated. They're not coaching based on opponents so much. I bet they are. I'm sure they're, but they have no problem putting two younger guys in against the Hawks and taking veteran guys out. I like that, Pat. I like that. Whether or not we can argue about sustainability, we can argue about where the Flames are, there's still a development component going on here. And quite honestly, Devin Setoguchi's behind the eight ball right now. Does more good long-term probably for Michael Ferland and Max Reinhardt to get these games.
Yeah, and I mean, right now, it's not as if Setoguchi is helping you a lot. So you can make the argument that Reinhardt might help you more than Setoguchi right now. You can definitely make that argument. So, and I'm not saying that it's a guarantee, but that's kind of where Setoguchi's been. He's kind of just been there. Hasn't really helped you a ton. Hasn't really hurt you a ton either. It's just kind of been there. So to give an opportunity for a guy like Reinhardt to get in, yeah, sure, makes sense. And McGrattan, kind of one of those guys who's right, going to go in and out, and I think it'll be determined on the lineup. I think it made sense for McGrattan to play against certain teams, and it won't make as much sense for him to play against other teams. That's kind of the way you'll manage him your lineup right now.
And I take myself out of this equation because I'm a huge Brian McGrattan fan, really like the man. I still believe in what he can bring to the hockey team. My assessment, I'm curious about your more analytical point of view on this, is I get the sense that Brian McGrattan isn't going anywhere. This isn't a guy that is in danger of losing his spot with kids or anything like that. That the Flames view him in two ways. One, as a very positive role model within the locker room and as a teacher. And the second is, yeah, there are certain games you're going to need him. And every once in a while, right now, he's just going to get spotted in sometime along the line. Maybe, you know, when things start to go bad and you need that kind of presence, he may be playing a few more consecutive games. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, and I mean, look, I mean, in the way I read it is, Bob Hartley likes to have physical big players against physical big teams.
Right.
So it made sense that McGrattan would be in against a very physical team like the Anaheim Ducks, and he was in on Tuesday against the Ducks. So that's kind of the – I think that he's just going to pick and choose where to use him for the next little while, and I don't think he's going anywhere either. Like, I think we're talking about McGrattan – They like what he brings away from the ice. They like what he brings to their team dynamic. They like him being around the younger players. And you know, he can be a leader in different ways. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be a leader on the ice only. Your work ethic, how you prepare, all that type of stuff, how you be a good teammate even when you're not playing. Mm-hmm. There's leadership elements there. So that's what McGrattan's bringing to this group right now. And I think that what will get him in the lineup is more determined on the team that the Flames are playing as opposed to anything else right now. And yeah, I think it'll be picking your spots here and probably will be that way for the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice little I guess carrot for Lance Boma. Looks like he's going to play on a line with Sean Monahan and Curtis Glencross tonight. These are very much up in the air, but it looks like that's something that might happen tonight. And a nice reward for Boma, who's been playing some really, really good hockey.
I'll keep the identity a secret to protect the innocent. Was talking to somebody within the organization today, and they blurted something out, and really give it much thought, but it kind of gave me a little insight to the thinking within the organization that the two guys that this team feels they can play all four lines right now are Paul Byron and Lance Boma. That not only can they play all four lines, that they'll impact them positively, that, you know, they'll make them better. And I would concur with that statement. And, you know, to Lance Boma's credit, he's become more than what he appeared to be at times. And I think that's the danger in judging developing players. And it also, to me, also shows that two things. character. And I know that we're not allowed to talk about intangibles with a certain segment of the audience that believes that the game is dynamically only numbers. But the fact is, there is room for character, and Lance Bowman has it coming out his ears. But the other thing is, this is a kid that gets it, and this is a kid that develops it. Do you remember when he got sat out last November?
Yeah.
He deserved to be sat out. He wasn't doing anything. He was playing on the fourth line and taking up time. And he sat out, got it. That's when the shot blocking really became part of his repertoire. That's when Troy Ward once said this about Emile Poirier, which is really exciting if you're thinking about the Flames prospects. The one thing that Troy Ward, the then coach of the Abbotsford Heat, liked about Emile Poirier is that he was prepared to die in the blue paint to score a goal. And I think there's an element of that in Lance Bomba. I think Poirier's might be a 30-goal scorer, might be a 20-goal scorer in the NHL. I don't think that's Lance Bomba. But I think Lance Bomba can give you 10 goals a year, Pat. I think Lance Bomba can give you 20 to 25 points. You know, I don't think that's unreasonable. He'll wear a letter at some point right now. He's really turned into a fine hockey player.
One, and I mean, his willingness to do whatever it takes is kind of the thing that will shine brightest of all the attributes that he has. And he's just one of those amazing players that, you know, he is just wants to help the team. That's all. Like, yeah. if you're going to sit him out, he's going to be frustrated because he doesn't believe that he's helping the team.
He's not mad at you.
No,
he's not mad at his coach.
No,
he's mad at himself.
He's mad at himself. Yeah. He wants to help the team. He wants to help his teammates, and he wants to be relied on in whatever circumstance the coaching staff has. And he's one of those guys that I don't really think is if he's playing on the fourth line, he's going to do everything he can there. If he gets an opportunity to play on the first line, great, I'll do everything I can here. I like Lance Bowman. He's an easy guy to cheer for. You worry about him sometimes. I wonder if he's
going to
hurt
himself.
Yeah, because
you like him so much, right? You don't want to see him do.
Some of the shots that he blocks and some of the hits that he doesn't connect with, but he does connect with the boards.
I don't like doing the over-the-air criticism thing. I prefer that we keep our stuff in-house. But I'll say this. I only wish Peter Labardes would open up and tell us what he really thinks. I was listening to him this morning, or I guess this afternoon on Hockey Central, talking about the Chicago Blackhawks. You and I had a conversation earlier in the week about, you know, who you should be modeling your franchise after. There's a lot of, and has been, in the what we would call this recent success, the glory years of the Chicago Blackhawks, these last, there's a lot of Lance Bowmans in that lineup, right? There's a lot of guys that will go through a wall for you. They're not necessarily forwards. They got some defensemen like that. You can't just have first-line players all the time. You can't only be worried about developing just top-end offensive players. You have to develop everybody. And I think Lance Bowma, third-round pick. Again, I'm willing to start to have this conversation with people. I know the Flames historically have not been a good drafting team. I would say to you, in the last 7-8 years, they have been 6-7 years, have become a much better drafting team, and I think he's one of those guys I would point to.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I think having players like that on your team is an important because I take a look at when you build a hockey team, you don't have the salary cap ability to have high skill players all the way down your lineup. You have to, so you need to have the
in a
right,
30 team league.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. You need to have the right players that can slot in your bottom six and slot in your depth chart. And I think you need to have the right players developed by your organization because the Flames are trying to create a certain feel. They're trying to create a certain identity. And because of that, if you can develop a player in your organization, then all of a sudden it's a whole lot easier for him to fit those traits because he knows what it's all about. So that's why I think in Bowman's case, him being drafted and developed by this team is also a big boon.
And the one thing I would say is that, you know, in a kind of an eerie in a way, Dale Tallon really started the Hawks down that path as general manager. Stan Bowman's done a nice job of keeping it up, but there's two different general managers, and we've seen that here in Calgary. Actually, three different general managers who really had their fingers on, you know, the composition of this team. We're just talking about Lance Bowman. That's a Daryl Sutter. Probably, you know, in that case, I think that's when Daryl started relinquishing a little bit more of the responsibility to Todd Button at the draft table, if that makes any sense. So it's probably more of a Todd Button deal. But then TJ Brody's out of that draft, too.
Yep.
And, you know, ask, if you ever get a chance to talk to somebody in the hockey community at the NHL level, ask them what the general rule of thumb is with a good draft. What constitutes a good draft? And most people will tell you in the hockey world that if you get two players that play over 400 games in the NHL out of one draft, it's something else. Not superstars, just two players that play over 400 games.
Two regular NHLers. That's something right. That makes it a pretty – because statistically, not every team's getting that.
Yeah.
And so the last number of drafts the Flames have had, like right now, even though Berchi isn't a guarantee that he's going to play – be a regular NHLer. Gaudreau's going to be a regular NHLer. Granlund's going to be a regular NHLer.
Waiting on Wotherspoon.
Wotherspoon could be a regular NHLer. Yeah. So there you go. There's good work in the 2011 draft. You take a look at 2012, we're still not sure about that one. But Gillies looks like he might be a decent prospect. Seeloff looks like he might be an NHLer. And then certainly the last two drafts, I think you have some high hopes that you can get that as well. And
absolutely.
Even you go back to 2010, don't know what Reinhardt's going to be, but could be a regular NHLer.
With no first or second round pick, too.
And then
right?
Ferland. Let's not forget Ferland came out of the 2010
and
draft.
And the guy you talked to yesterday, who I think might be the least talked about prospect in this organization that you should need to know, I think is Billy Arnold. I really do. And the other guy I'll throw in there, because 2009, the Tim Erickson draft, Yoni Ortio was a sixth round pick. And right now, and I'm excited to talk to Brad True Living about it, but right now, all things being equal, he could be here next year as a full-time NHLer. That's how his contract's set up.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Let's take a break. Before we take the break, the one thing I do want to say that, again, not necessarily on ice, off the ice, there's a lot of similarities there, isn't there, between Chicago and Calgary? That Chicago's been very good at late draft picks, have added everything through the draft, defensemen, their goaltenders. Not all of them are Taves and Kane. Not all of them are Taves and Kane,
mm-hmm.
but they've done a pretty good job in supplementing their team. I'm sure when because the Chicago Blackhawks, Pat, are off on their circus trip, their annual circus trip, so they're gone for a couple of weeks. I'm betting you bought dollars to donuts, half the team, maybe three-quarters of the team, all have drop cam. And are probably going to do better on this road trip because they are drop cam owners, because they'll have peace of mind. They won't be on the ice worrying about whether or not their dogs and their cats are ripping up the furniture. Or they're not worried about people breaking into the backyard and stealing the lawnmower. That's the flexibility of drop cam. That's why you should have it. I have a drop cam. I can log on right now on my laptop, and I can look at my camera. I can turn it on. I can turn it off. I have the flexibility, whether it's security, whether it's peace of mind, whether it's just the ability to share the grandkids with the grandparents by inviting them to look at your drop cam. I've said it before. I will hammer it home. Flexibility, kids. When you're looking for your own personal security camera, make sure the top of your list is flexibility. That's what DropCam gives you. Check them out, dropcam.com. Go to Best Buy and Future Shop. When we come back, another special guest scheduled to be in the Hot Stove Lounge, if there's room to get him in here. He's a big dude. Keegan Kanzig, now of the Calgary Hitmen, as of last night. We'll talk to him next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Proud to broadcast from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
If you're looking for big city savings and selection combined with country charm, look no further than Okotoks Ford Lincoln. Visit the all-new showroom and state-of-the-art facility, and you'll find Southern Alberta's largest selection of new Ford and Lincoln vehicles, plus a promise to beat any big city price. So take the short drive to big savings and enjoy car buying the way it should be at Okotoks Ford, just 10 minutes south of Calgary on Highway 2A, or always at okotoksford.com.
Talking sports in the afternoon. This is the Big Show on Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
The way they play, obviously, they have a lot of skill, but their skill guys play tough, and if they don't have a big heavyweight fighter, then they definitely play a team tough game, and that's no secret. Obviously, when you have somebody like Taser that is so skilled, but also plays such a tough game, and plenty of other guys are like that helps out a lot, and obviously they're doing well without a big meathead in the lineup like me.
Well, I don't know. That's Brandon Bolig of the Calgary Flames getting set to face his former club for the second time. Bolig will be in the lineup for Calgary, and it won't be long before our next guest, likely in the lineup for the Calgary Flames, recently acquired by the Calgary Hitmen from the Victoria Royals, defenseman Keegan Kanzig joins us. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. I'm thinking my last 24 hours are probably far more settled than your last 24 hours. Kind of walk us through the day that was for you that sends you from Victoria, the coast, to Calgary.
Yeah, it's been kind of a crazy 24 hours. Yesterday was started out just preparing like a regular game day. Got to the rink partway through my routine, and shortly before the game, I got called in by Cameron Hope, and he told me I was dealt to the Hitmen. So that was after that. It was, you know, it was mixed emotions after, you know, being in Victoria for 3.5 years, and I made some good friendships there, and and knew a lot of good people. But at the same time, I'm very excited to be here in Calgary. Great city. It's a, you know, good organization here, a good fan base, and I'm very excited to play here, especially with, you know, with the Flames being right next door.
A couple of different things, Keegan. Let me go this direction first. Does a player ever have an inkling? I mean, did you go to work yesterday? Have you been going to work at all thinking, geez, you know, my time here is coming to an end? Did you have any feeling?
No, not at all. Wow. I was, yeah, I was a bit of a shocker, kind of, kind of a blindside, but, yeah, after it kind of settled, after I settled down a bit and it kind of sunk in, it, yeah, it's been exciting.
217 games with the Royals. Tell me a little bit about Victoria, because you were part of the group that went in there and helped, you know, bring a new franchise back to Victoria, would have been there. But what was playing hockey like in Victoria for you?
It was good. It was a really great place to play. They have a good organization there. It was run well, you know, from the top right down to the bottom. Great teammates. I learned a lot there from coaches and former teammates and teammates, you know, that I was, you know, recently playing with. Yeah, nothing but good things to say about the organization.
I find that whole thing bizarre, that you're watching a game knowing that you're not playing for the team. So you're in your suit and tie watching the game yesterday knowing that you're not playing with that team anymore. So what's going through your head? Are you, like, are you even paying attention at that point? I'm very curious as to how that all goes.
Yeah, it was one of the weirder feelings. Like, whenever you're watching a game, you know, it's unsettling. You always want to be on the ice, mm-hmm. right, watching your team, but having just been dealt to be sitting in the press box watching, knowing that I was no longer playing with the guys that were out on the ice, I was going to be playing against them, it was bizarre. I'm not sure how to explain it, but it was a bizarre feeling.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Okay, so you're now signed, you've got your contract, and your entry-level deal is all put to bed. I'm curious as to how does that change your mindset at all? Like, is it maybe a little weight off your shoulders, and has it changed the way that you approach things in the Western Hockey League now, knowing that part, that business side, has all been kind of taken care of?
Not really. I haven't, but you know, it's I was obviously very honored to be signed, and it was a great feeling, and you know, I was very very proud to sign with the Calgary Flames. But you know, when it comes down to playing the game, I tried not to change too much. And, if anything, it was a bit of a confidence booster, and I mm-hmm. tried to use it as that and you know, use it positively for my confidence, you know, playing games. But other than that, I wouldn't say it had too much effect on my actual gameplay.
Well, it's funny because the other, you talk about confidence boost. I know it's been a little while now, but it was just over a year ago that you stayed really late in your first NHL training camp. And now that you've had a full season and part of this season since that time, was that the confidence boost that maybe you thought it would be now looking back and reflecting on it?
Yeah, I think that was huge for me. You know, going the first camp, I think, like you said, I stayed a while and I learned a lot at that camp, you know, from the players and the coaching staff, just being around the guys, you know, there's lots to learn from their work ethic and what they do around the rink. And then, yeah, it was big confidence going, you know, into last season. I think, that's a big part of, you know, why I got signed. It was, the confidence I had from camp going forward. Through the season.
Did you learn anything from anyone in particular? Like, was there anybody that you were able to glean more off of during that experience?
It's hard to pick one guy. Giordano, though, was a guy that you could tell just, you know, he's focused. He's there to do a job, and he does things right. And I think, you know, that's why he's wearing the C, and you can tell he's a great leader, and he does things right.
With Keegan Kanzig, now of the Calgary Hitmen, that's the other wrinkle in this, is that it's the Calgary Hitmen and not, you know, the Red Deer Rebels or somebody. You're coming into the, you know, into the barn of the team that drafted you.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be different had you gone to, say, a Swift Current or someplace else? I mean, this is such a unique, as Pat was talking about before, it's just such a unique situation, right?
Yeah, 100%. For sure, like this, to go anywhere, this would be the place that I wanted to go.
Yeah.
No doubt. Like I said before, this is a great city. And, yeah, having the Flames here is, you know, being around, I'll be able to watch them more often and learn a lot more, I think, and I think it'll be a lot better for my development.
5 hours from home?
5 hours from hometown, Athabasca.
Yeah.
But home is now in Fort Saskatchewan.
Okay.
My parents are there, so 3 hours now.
That's kind of an added bonus to all of this, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
They're going to be able to see you more regularly. Your friends will be able to see you. That's got to be a little bit fun, too.
Yeah, that's the first thing my mom said. I called her. She said, you're closer to home. We'll see you more often.
So that's great. Do you know anybody in the dressing room?
Not really. Played against them, but no, really. Didn't play with anybody in the past, but... just being on the ice today with them and in the dressing room a bit afterwards, they seem like a great bunch of guys, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the season with them.
What have they told you? What have the Hitmen told you, the coaching staff told you, Mike Moore, the general manager, about your role? What are they looking to get from you for the remainder of this season?
To be honest, I haven't sat down and had that chat with them yet, but I assume they're looking for me to play my game and keep playing the way I do, which is sound, defensive, physical D-man.
What has this year been about for you in terms of your development, Keegan? What have you been working on trying to get better at?
Just being quicker in tight areas and being smart defensively with my stick and positioning and moving well.
Just let me jump in here. That is something, we were talking about this yesterday, that is something that is absolutely stressed here with the Flames, right, in training camp.
Yeah.
Stick positioning, the details of the game, is that where you kind of got that impetus from?
Yeah, of course, that's something that they wanted me to work on after camp this year. Those are kind of two things they put an emphasis on, so that's something I've been focusing on throughout the season.
One thing you've talked about a couple of different times since being drafted is you want to work on your foot speed. Where is it now? How happy are you with how that's come along?
It's better. I think I've made some good strides, but there's always room for improvement. And I still think I got lots of room, and I can be a lot quicker.
So how have you worked on it? Like, what have you employed anybody? Have you found somebody that you want to work with? Have the Flames helped you in that regard? How have you gone about working at it?
Over the off season, there was a lot of work spent on the technical movements and just being quicker. And excuse me, throughout the season, it's just been like drills after practice, just little things that I kind of learned from the off season.
What about just the overall size? Like what? Your frame is huge. You obviously, you're bigger than 99.9% of the players you're playing against right now. So what do you focus on getting bigger? Do you focus on adding more size or more strength to that? I'm curious as to a guy who's already as developed as you are, how you go about maintaining that or building on that.
Speed is a big thing for me. And size isn't something I focus on gaining. I focus on speed and getting, getting stronger. Mm-hmm. You can get stronger without getting bigger, and that's what I focus on. I don't really worry about my size or weight because that seems to work out.
Seems
to take care of itself and work out.
So is that your core then? Like when you're talking about strength, is it strengthening kind of that core area and making it so you're tougher to knock off the puck? Like how do you go about strengthening without getting bigger?
It's all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's core is a big thing. You got a strong core, you're strong everywhere. But it's just everything. just working on all sorts of stuff to get stronger.
Look, it's been a busy day for you, Keegan. Really appreciate you coming down and saying hello. Congratulations on becoming a member of the Calgary Hitmen. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch in this building. And I think it's a really neat story that, you know, here you are. You're going to be watched a little bit more. I know they have big plans for you. It's got to be really exciting.
It is. I'm really looking forward to the future here.
Thanks, Keegan.
Good stuff.
Thanks very much.
Man.
Keegan Kanzig, now of the Calgary Hitmen, our guest in studio. We'll take a break. The general manager of the Calgary Flames to join us here in the Hot Stove Lounge in about a half hour's time. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
If it's on the ice, it's on the air and online right here. Calgary's home for the NHL. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.